Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Nicola Comotti here at the 68th Berlinale, and today I'm joined by Barry Keoghan, Hugo Weaving, and Lance Daly, respectively actors and director of Black 47. So Lance, I noticed that there are moments in the bleak reality of Black 47 that are actually uplifting. Did you think you needed this sort of relief every now and then in the film?
I'm certainly glad of them. When I'm watching the film with an audience, I'm certainly glad of those little moments where people can just have a moment of relief. And usually I'd probably be inclined to put some more in, because even like, you know, we're working hard here today, but you know, it's just human nature to, you know, get through it with some jokes. And but it's hard to do that when you're making a film about the famine and about sort of what's a very serious subject, particularly for an Irish audience. So we put a few jokes in there, yeah. But I think they're all jokes. They're all jokes about authority, probably. You know, like he says, you know, we've been listening to this shit for hours. He says that, but it's in Irish, so the minister can't understand him. So it's sort of undermining the authority. He's the boss. Or when Freddie's character says, is every halfwit in Ireland here? And one of the Irish guys says, no, your mother went home yesterday. And they all laugh. But it's the same thing. It's like, it's saying, fuck off to the guy who thinks he's the boss, you know. So I think they're probably the only humour in it is about undermining, you know, the sense of order that's meant to be there.
This film is somehow unprecedented. And there was a responsibility for you. Or you felt it, maybe.
That's the horrible thing about, honestly, about this, and about talking about it today, is because I'm not a historian, you know. I'm a filmmaker who was interested in this material and read as many books as I could in the months leading up to making the film, but we did consult with, you know, so I don't want to be, I suppose, I'm interested in talking about the film and what we did here, but, you know, I don't particularly want to be, you know, the person spreading the message about it.
But nevertheless, making the film, you obviously felt that responsibility.
Well, that's, film is the, that really, I'd really like it if that was my means of expression. Not clarifying things afterwards, which is tricky because, you know, we did really engage with a community of historians in Ireland, and, you know, and they were very much involved in the conversation about everything, about what size would the courtroom be, about what rank would Hannah be, or, you know, Hobson be, and how all the hierarchy of the time worked, and, you know, and we had, you know, and our armourer was quite a historical expert too, and real fan of the time, so he had a lot to say about particularly the military history, and, you know, but it's such a big topic, it's just kind of terrifying to be, think that, to be able to speak with authority about it, because it's just it's a huge chapter in history. So I'd like to think that the film is a way into it. And then, you know, I could recommend some good books on the subject if people want to learn more. Yeah.
In hindsight, did you enjoy this challenge? Or perhaps there's been moments where you were like, oh, what am I doing?
There are always what am I doing moments in making a film. I wouldn't say no, it wasn't an enjoyable film to make. It was hard.
It was really hard.
Craft, yeah.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes the hardest things... when you're having a hard time, actually, that is part of our journey through life. If you don't learn anything from when you're not being challenged personally and as a group. And there were times where we had really hard days on set. But there were also other days where I think we all felt we were getting really great stuff. But it was constantly challenging, I think.
And everybody's so invested. You know, everybody's so invested in the material because it's important material, and everybody's done their reading, and, you know, so everybody has a truth to bring to it. And when you've such a large ensemble cast as well, that's a lot of different truths that everybody's, you know, trying to knit it together. It was hard as well because, you know, it was cold, shot it through the winter, in two countries, in two languages, Irish and English. So, you know, the bits that weren't hard were the stunt, the action scenes. Actually, I really, really enjoyed the action, making the action, and I found them quite easy. Actually,
because you're pretty. You know. I mean, technically, might be different. But I suppose I suppose that with an action thing, you're released into a series of actions that you can see. Well, does that work? You know, does that energy work?
Yeah.
It's this, it's less complicated in one way, but more formally complicated.
But actually, it's much simpler because
you're not dealing with
the psychology of it, which is the thing that you really get into. And then, you know, the horses and the musket fire, you know, we used real black powder, real gunpowder, and all those things were a lot of fun. So we enjoyed those parts.
Yeah.
Didn't we, Bar?
I loved shooting guns in it. It's great.
And Hugo, did you have any role models to shape your character, Hannah?
I did. I had lots. I can't remember. I sort of went through a number of different sort of thoughts about him early on. And then it's funny, we were just saying this morning, you come back and talk about a film a year later. And actually, it's like 3 years since I sort of started thinking about it. And then you forget what you were initially thinking about. But then that's been buried underneath a whole lot of other things. So... yeah, I suppose I had, as an archetype, I had a sense of the experienced soldier who's kind of disintegrating from within, the exhausted, tired of living actually, but still sort of putting one foot in front of another, not lost in a fog of drink and depression, I guess. So. But someone who then finds his way not through his own energy, but by events outside him that somehow illuminate something of the path forward for him in some way. Things that happen to other people, and particularly Feeney, but the choices he ends up making almost without making them, they just make themselves. Those sort of things propel him into a potential future at the end of the film. So, Vance talks about the massive canvas that this film is trying to be truthful to and trying to represent. That sense that you're trying to put all of that on film, and you've got a lot of people who have a lot of ideas about just from an individual character perspective, but everyone in their department working together on something, and something which is necessarily the ground shifting as you're doing it. So it's coming to a collective understanding of the material you're working on. And sometimes when that ground is shifting on the day, you're not all on the same page. So just that sort of difficulties that you all face from time to time in making films is really hard. It's particularly hard on a writer director, I think, in that.
Well, it's situation. Also, it's also the fact that actually there's no, if we went and made a film now about, I was going to pick an event that's already been, pick any event that's already been, you know, committed to film. You're going to watch those films. You're going to say,
yeah,
they did this worked, yeah, this didn't work, you know. And we really had no touchstone for there's very few films about famine. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do, and zero films about the Irish famine, or in fact, you know, apart from, I'm trying to think, even 19th century Ireland, you know, Barry Lyndon, there's very few, you know, that are even close in the period. So there's just sort of no reference. So you're really, and then at the same time, you know, you're trying to give the film an identity which is singular and is not like other films. Like, that's very important to me when you create a film, that you don't say, oh, it's like this meets this, or it's that meets that, you know. It's like,
try just
know, yeah, that. So that when you hear the review goes Michael Collins meets Rambo, I'm satisfied, because like nobody ever would try to put those two films together. It's like, okay, we've found a space, you know. And so you're trying to create an aesthetic which is unique to the film, and trying to create, and then just and to film about Ireland at the time. So it's just all those things, each one of those elements raises the stakes a little bit, you know. And then, you know, you're trying to do it, you're trying to, you know, use whatever resources in the right way, and it's just everything's a stretch. So, you know, well, we talked about the dangers of being of just letting that go, it's happening but it's not happening here, and being complacent, and the dangers of complacency. And that was part of the film for me, it was about that. But you know, there's this really interesting story, I think, which we haven't actually talked about today. I don't even know if we talked about it when we were making the film, the Choctaw. You know about the Choctaw tribe? The Native American tribe that had their own exodus and had really been, a lot of them had died on this thing they call the Trail of Tears, moving from one area to another, reservation to another. And they were really, really wiped out, and there was, you know, they really had nothing. And they heard about the famine in Ireland, and they sent $400, which was a lot of money then. And and to this day, there's still a friendship between the Choctaw tribe and people in the rest of Ireland. They send people every few years. They have a little ceremony, you know, over 170 years, and it's sort of like that. That for me is the model of being human and actually being interested in what's going on out there and reaching out, and you know, that's a friendship that's lasted for what, 5 or 6 generations now, you know. And then there's all the people in the world at that time who had plenty, who hadn't gone down the Trail of Tears, and they sent nothing, you know. And so I think that's a really interesting sort of
story. Well, it was great yesterday, that Ethiopian guy in the press conference who said how this film is extraordinarily pertinent and relevant, and history does repeat itself, and it's present now. He's talking about the drought in Ethiopia and how people assume that all these people have died because there was a drought. And he said it wasn't really the drought that killed them, it was the government not dealing with the drought properly, and therefore people died. And this is what happened in Ireland. People didn't just die because of the famine, it was because of all sorts of other things.
Okay, so distribution.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think those things do keep coming back historically, and that's why history is important. So we can learn from something like this and say, well, how is this relevant to us today? And how, what? Oh, yeah, that's right. There are us people starving now. We're still alive. History is present, you know.
Barry, were you comfortable in this very important for the story, but still smaller role in Black 47?
When you say smaller role, I mean, I thought it was the lead, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not the lead of this film.
The most important role in the film.
The heart of the movie. Like,
yeah,
Jesus.
We did say the conscience of the
romance of the movie. what was it like for the... What was the question?
Where do you see yourself at the moment?
Leading man, supporting
I'm working on it. You know, at the moment, I mean, I just want to keep working with good filmmakers. You know, good stories, important stories, and just, yeah, collaborate with the best. Keep making them classics.
Thank you very much to Barry, Hugo and Lance here for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.